let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm in the studio, Danny Gallagher, and I'm here with Father John. How you doing, Father John Wargle?
You know, I'm really, really looking forward to this one. This is a real fun one.
Well, it's a very interesting relationship that these two guys here. So these are Isaac's sons, Jacob and Esau.
That's right.
And they got a weird relationship. That's all.
From the
typical
beginning.
Brothers. Yes, from the beginning. Yes. So you can go ahead and talk about that. I thought it was a great story. Make sure people read the post on ancienthopes.org. And yeah.
I thought I'd just go. I'm going to go through the Hebrew with you, so it's going to be a clunky translation.
Oh, great. Can't wait.
But I'll just go with a phrase, and we'll just go back and forth on it. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, so we see that Yitzhak, which means laughter, right?
Yes.
He's God's precious gift to Abraham and
right.
Sarah and to the world, really, when you see how this all opens up for us.
Right, and they laughed like crazy when God told them they were going to get
the
pregnant.
Impossible, right,
yes.
Right. Okay, so, so he's got Rebecca, okay, and let's see here. In verse 21, Yitzhak, he prayed to Yahweh in behalf of his wife, for she was barren. What motif is this? This is, throughout Scripture, what? The barren wife motif. Okay. We just saw it
really,
with
we just
Abraham,
made that up.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course.
Yeah, this keeps on going on and on and on. I mean, we see it also into the New Testament.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah. It's just, I have a hard time because it didn't happen with Adam and Eve. So it's like,
oh, that's right.
You know,
okay,
what I mean,
a hard question. Okay.
I know, but I'm just saying that it doesn't go all the way back. Okay, you got it. Okay.
Well, yeah, right, and of course you've got supernatural birth.
Yes,
and of course ultimately this motif is fulfilled in Jesus because that's the ultimate supernatural birth. Right,
right, right. Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this motif is huge. Okay, in the Scripture. So Yahweh, he heard the prayer. Okay, and she conceived. And what happens, verse 22, I love this. The children were struggling. They were fighting. They were really making a scene in there.
Okay. Right, yeah.
The word there is ratat. In Hebrew, it sounds like something crazy is going on. So much so, she said, she's the choir of the Lord. What's going on here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What's happening to me? Okay.
Well, she didn't know it was twins, right?
Well, yeah. At that point, she wouldn't have
known. I mean,
of
course not. Yeah. So what's
right.
going on with me? That was a real question.
Good heavens. Is there a monster in
yeah,
here?
Yeah, exactly.
Or
yeah. If this is more than one baby, no, what? Yeah, that would probably, well, they would have known about twins, of course, because other people have them. But they wouldn't have known that she was going to have a
right.
set
well,
of twins.
Right. That's what happens here because God tells her what's happening. Okay.
Yeah,
he says,
yeah.
Okay. You have two nations are in your belly. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Wow.
He couldn't just say, you have twins. He had to say, there are two nations. In your...
That's right.
Come on.
there are two peoples. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to be taken out of you, separated from you. And then we've got this phrase, okay? The one shall be stronger than the other. That's not so shocking. But what's shocking is this. The greater will serve the younger.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a...
What motif is this one, Danny? This is...
Don't make me do that.
This is the reversals motif.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Now, we've talked...
How was I supposed to know that?
Well... Because God is always going contrary to human expectation,
yes,
because humans
okay.
are always thinking in terms pride, power, all that sort of thing. And of course, the firstborn motif in Genesis, it's scandalous all the way through from the beginning to the end. Because if you look at all the firstborns, none of them have precedence in the whole thing.
Yes,
in a culture, Danny, where everybody assumed that the firstborn was the top dog.
The one that's going to be primary, the heir.
Right. And all society is built upon that whole structure of inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
But this is scandalous. Okay. So that's what they would have, as soon as they heard this, they said, wow. Or, she heard this, or, this is not the way it should go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do have one more thing to say about twins. So when Claire and Colleen were born, they're our set of twins.
Oh, you do? I missed that. Okay, go ahead.
I do remember that. Now, we knew, of course, that it was twins.
Right.
But I do remember that they were battling in there. It's true. I mean, I just think that two babies are battling for space,
And
I do also remember that the doctor said, wow, this one twin is a lot bigger than the other one. They were like winning the battle of who's getting fed more, kind of thing.
They get along now?
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. Yes. Yeah. They get along great.
This turns out different.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Okay, so when the days came for her to have the child, and the first one, this is cool in Hebrew, came out Admoni, which is the word red, red, all over, like a woolly blanket.
Yeah, that is a weird description.
Do you know what I think of when I see this description? At least they used to be, these magazines that would be by the grocery, in the grocery store, right? Where they'd have these pictures of these weird-looking babies and stuff like that.
Well, any kind of weird thing.
A mother who gave birth to an orangutan or something like that.
Exactly.
I can't believe Do they still have those things?
They do, tabloids, yeah.
Well, that's what I get here from looking at this, And so she called his name Esav. Esav is another word for red,
A
lot of people call, hey, red,
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, red hair.
Redhead. They used to, call people, redheads or whatever.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Okay, now after this, his brother came out, but his hand was grasping onto the heel of Esav, and so therefore they called him Yaakov. Okay, the heel is a cave,
Yeah.
So his name was Heel. I mean, that is not a good name.
No, right. No.
As a matter of fact, I think in English we actually used that back in the old days. We don't do that now, but he's a heel.
Yes.
Have you ever heard that before?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And in books, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree that probably wasn't a very good term for that guy.
Yeah, right.
That kid.
So we got this guy who's all red and hairy, and then you got the heel.
Yeah.
Right? Again, this is not the great epic literature you read from other countries and stuff, that this is really down to earth.
Yeah, this is.
And that's why it's so cool. It's just so down to earth.
Right. It's the same. It's sort of the continuation of the same story. These are regular people. Just regular people.
Now, the important thing also to understand is that we have here a doctrine, a very hard doctrine of predestination.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because everything was established before they were born. God didn't let them grow up to find out who's going to be what, and then, I'm going to choose you or what, whatever, right?
Right. So they're predestined.
This whole thing's predestined.
Yeah. Wow.
So we live in a real, real paradox of predestination, but also we also live in a paradox of human choice and the power of human choice and responsibility. In a way, the rest of the story from here on out to the end of Genesis really is a story of how this paradox works out.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargel. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
So we live in a real, real paradox of predestination, but also we also live in a paradox of human choice and the power of human choice and responsibility. In a way, the rest of the story from here on out to the end of Genesis really is a story of how this paradox works out.
Yeah. So God's predestination or predetermining things and people making choices that what maybe might change that?
Well,
or don't.
We do see we do see that that Yaakov changes. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's over a very long and hard, arduous life, right? Like, you know, happens for most of us, right?
Yeah. Well, he's a heel.
Right.
I think he's growing into his name at first, that's for sure.
Okay. So let's see here. Okay. So the brothers grew up and Esau became a skilled hunter. Okay. Mm. He just loved going outdoors, right?
Yeah.
But you expect that from someone who's red and hairy, right? I don't know. Maybe not. Okay.
Maybe not.
Okay.
I don't know.
Now, Yaakov, he was, the word here in the Hebrew is tam, which means perfect. And here it's not really used in that sense that he's perfect. It would probably be used in contrast to his woolly brother, that he was sophisticated. He was, if you could use the word urbane in a situation, I mean, he dwelt among the tents, whereas brother was out in the fields, right?
By himself and just learning off the land, kind of.
That's right. Now, we're going to see how sophisticated Yaakov is, because he's very shrewd.
Yes. Okay. Cunning guy.
A cunning guy. Okay. So, the father loved Esau, and I love this in Hebrew, Ki Zayid Be'fiv, which is wild game was in his mouth.
That's Whoa.
There's a funny Hebrew way of saying it.
Wow.
That he just loved tasty food from, you know.
Yeah,
okay,
wild game.
Was in his mouth.
Wow.
But Rivka, she loved Yaakov. She loved Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on the basis of this background, we see what Jacob does. He boils a pottage, okay, in a pot, some sort of a stew.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And Esau came from the field, and he was hungry. He had a bad hunting day.
Yeah, so he didn't get anything to eat.
Right. And Esau said unto Yaakov, he said, this is so funny, and this is the reason why I'm bringing up the Hebrew, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because there's a hapax legomenon. That's a famous word. This is a one-time word. We don't know what it means except for the context, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But the word is connected to jaw.
Okay.
So probably it's probably used to emphasize how uncouth Esau was. He basically says, let me jaw down now some of this Adom, this red stuff, this red stuff, and it's repeated. Okay, let me jaw down some of this, you know, not refined at all.
No.
Okay.
Right.
And of course, this red stuff is like him, red and hairy.
Yep.
So you see what Jacob is doing.
Making
He's
a
playing
connection.
To his weaknesses, right?
Yeah.
And his weakness is this, Danny. His weakness is immediacy.
Yes.
Right.
He wants it now.
He wants it now. Yeah. Okay.
And we're going to find out he's going to give up everything to get it
That's
now.
That's right. And so that makes him vulnerable.
Yes. Right.
Even though he's a big, tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
For I'm starving. Okay. Therefore, they call his name Edom. Okay. Red. Okay. Or red, you know, earthy type guy. That's another way of looking at it. He's earthy, right?
Yeah, sure.
The farthest thing from spiritual or heavenly, right?
Right. Didn't seem to care about that much.
No. So Yaakov said, sell me right now your birthright. It all gets down to who's going to come up on top in this family.
And right.
And Yaakov understands that, right? So Esau said, behold, I'm going to die. Was he really going to die?
Of course not, yes. But he thought he was.
But everybody who lives by immediacy says, you know, I'm going to die if I can't have this thing, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So what is his birthright to me? And Yaakov said, swear to me right now. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Yaakov. And Yaakov gave him, Esau, some bread and some of this red stew. And then there's a staccato of high verbs, which is very telling in Hebrew. He ate, he drank, he rose, he went, he despised.
Huh.
Okay. Now, the staccato just emphasizes his immediacy, the quickness of his actions, the thoughtlessness behind it.
Right, yeah.
Right.
He's so, doing things without any thought, without any consideration.
Right.
One after the other.
Right. So we had these two guys, okay? And I asked the question, Danny, which one do you prefer? I mean, if you wanted to hang out with one of them, what would you do?
I'll tell you, Esau's my guy because he's an earthy guy. He likes the woods. He likes being outdoors.
That's right.
Same
and
as
what
me.
You see is what you get.
Yes,
he's the guy who
exactly.
can sit back and watch a football game with a beer and just have a good old time, right?
Yes, you got it, right? True. That's why I like him.
Was Yaakov, he's a heel.
And, yeah, he's mean, sort of. He's taking advantage of people.
That's right, so... He's the one that, could knife you in the back if you didn't watch it.
That's the guy.
Now, this is a problem in a way, because if you look at the church fathers, they almost sort of see Yaakov from the beginning as God's man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the chosen one. He represents the good and all that sort of thing, right?
Well, and compared to Esau, there are those words, right? Mm-hmm. He's perfect.
Right. I am coming at this theologically, but I'm also coming at it from a literary point of view and from the language, the text, and that is simply, he's not a great guy.
Right.
And this really pans out as we go along. Everything's dysfunctional, okay? Because we see that there's triangulation going on, okay, where it's mother, Rivka, she is plotting for Jacob.
She likes him better.
Yeah, right. Whereas what's going on between the father and Esau, right? So the weak link in this whole thing is Yitzhak, the father, okay?
Yeah, right.
And both, they're playing these triangles, okay?
Yeah.
Which is classic dysfunction, Danny. The family of God is classic dysfunction going on here in the text.
It's just amazing. Same old thing. These are regular people.
Yeah. What we're going to be going from here on out is what you call family systems. Family systems theory. Okay. That's what it's called.
Okay.
About how families function. Danny, there's not a family that hasn't been dysfunctional.
And sure.
We're going to see
course.
All sorts of things coming out of this. That this is so, so fascinating. And it also shows you something about God. Okay, God's choice of Yaakov. I mean, you think that God would search around looking for someone better?
Yeah.
Couldn't he do better than Yaakov, right?
Yeah. If he has to pick between these two guys.
Right, yeah.
Esau's, to me, is the better choice, except that he doesn't seem to care about anything
except the foundational
basic stuff that he, quote-unquote, needs. Now.
Right. He doesn't have that any kind of a spiritual thing. But why doesn't he, Danny? I mean, he came out all red and hairy. He came out like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are questions that are just so hard to answer.
Right. Yeah. Somehow he just missed out on that whole part of.
Yeah. Well, anyways, this is what I like to say. Throughout scripture from here on out, you'll hear this phrase, I am the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yaakov. And being the God of Jacob is kind of like saying, please, I want this to be as honorable as I can, but I'm saying this like I am the God of the jerks, okay?
Oh, man.
Oh, but something? We all can be jerks.
Sure, of course.
Right. And so he's not a God of the well, so to speak, like Jesus, that he came to what? He came for those who are
downtrodden, poor,
or those who are ill and sick that need a physician, right?
Yes, right.
So that is the beauty of it, right? the beauty of it.
Sure. God seems to, God always seems to make a connection with the people who are, well, that really need him.
Yeah.
And in this case,
Yaakov is a mess.
Jacob really needed him. So what happens? Does Jacob become a better guy? You know what I mean? Does he learn? Okay.
We have to work through this whole thing. This is going to take a number of months. Okay. That's okay. I mean, each one of these things, each section of scripture is just so fascinating. So anyways. Good.
Okay. So it's great to hear the beginning of the story.
This is the very beginning.
And we'll continue on from here. Okay, great. Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay. God bless. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.